Face verified.
It's a question that appears time and time again. How comfortable are we as a society with facial recognition? As unlocking your phone shows, in some respects, the answer is clear. But when it comes to having your face scanned as you walk down the street, the issue becomes more murky.
It's a biometric identifier that means using aspects of your body for identification. The issue is that all of us are walking around in public, showing our faces, meaning that anybody with a scanner, if they want to, can mount a camera or whatever it is, and use an algorithm to identify us. We don't have any control over who is using our face as the identifier.
That's Gareth Mitchell, who presents Digital Planet on the BBC World Service. This lack of control and consent is key to one of the central paradoxes in the discussion around facial recognition, and it speaks to the differences in technologies involved, as Stephanie Hare explains in her new book.
There are different types of facial recognition technology, so let's start with facial verification, and that's the kind that you would use to unlock your own smartphone. That's not a very high-risk use of facial recognition technology because the biometric never leaves your phone. Higher-risk example is going to be when the police are using live facial recognition technology to identify people in a crowd. It might be high risk because it can be a chilling effect on free speech if people fear that when they're going to these protests, they're being scanned by the police.
But it's not just about giving consent and having control of your biometrics. The algorithms themselves are large, complex computer programs, often hidden behind company secrets. And it turns out they aren't always as accurate as we'd like.
It doesn't work as well on people with darker skin. It works particularly poorly on women with darker skin, but it can also be a problem with children, with trans people, with elderly people.
The fix, though, might not be as simple as it seems.
In order for the algorithms to get better at recognizing a whole diversity of faces would mean training those algorithms on more and more faces. And so opponents would say, well, that just adds to the problem. One problem is the algorithms are not very good at identifying a particular group of people. So let's just go and get loads of profiles of these kinds of people and put them into our databases. Well, then you've scanned even more faces. You've potentially compromise more people's privacy, and that's made the problem even worse.
Police forces around the UK also disagree on the use of the technology known as live facial recognition. The Met uses facial recognition to find offenders on watch lists, but Scottish police have halted its use.
Right now, our experience of this technology, who's using it, and how it's even discussed in law differs depending on your postcode.
And another reason why facial ID has been so controversial is that some of these police forces have been rolling it out before there was a regulatory framework in effect to protect us, and indeed, if necessary, them.
This lack of legal framework also concerns Lord Clement Jones, who debated the issue last week in the House of Lords.
And the general conclusion was that there was no single piece of legislation that really covered the use of live facial recognition. It's very easy to say we need to ban this technology, and I'm not quite in that camp. What I want to see, and this was the common ground, we want to see a review. We want to see what basis there should be for legislation. We want to see how the technology performs, and then we want to be able to decide whether we should ban it or whether there are some uses to which it could be put with the right framework.
It's hard to ignore the distinct advantages facial recognition carries. It's fast and hands-free. The ability to accurately and instantly identify a fugitive in a crowd would make the world a safer place.
There's bound to be a trade-off between our liberties and our security. We should be having conversations that are diverse, where a wide range of people are coming to the table with their views and their issues.
I would want to be hearing from scientists, the people who manufactured this tech, from the military, from the police, from medical professionals, from civil liberties groups. And I think it's the first step on a long journey that we have to have in the United Kingdom.
Lord Clement Jones is optimistic.
The public ought to take away from this debate that there are a great many parliamentarians concerned about the use of new technology without proper oversight. But they should put pressure on their own MPs to say, well, what is happening much more seriously?
It's clear then that we need to have this discussion sooner rather than later. In the meantime, though, I'm going to keep using my face to unlock my phone. I'm not sure where the line in the sand is, but for me, it's a bit past this level of convenience.